Well, today's gospel brings us back to the beginning of our journey with Mary 9 months earlier at the Annunciation. And in his series, In Conversation with God, Father Francis Hernandez writes the following. He says, "The spirit of Advent largely consists in living close to Our Lady during this time when she is carrying Jesus in her womb. There's no better way of preparing for Christmas, which is now so close, than by keeping Mary company." In many ways, this has been our Advent assignment, keeping Mary company as we gather more perspective on the wonder and the awe that God had sent His Son as a man to be our Redeemer. This reading also underlines the fact that while the journey is with Mary, it is about her Son. Remember what the Archangel Gabriel said to Mary at the Annunciation, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." John Soward, in a book called Redeemer of the Womb, says, "Church also remembers that before being a newborn baby, God was incarnate as an unborn baby. In modern jargon, a fetus, an embryo, a zygote. The first stage of human life that God made His own and therefore divinized was embryonic." How amazing. If you were to visit, in fact, the Church of the Annunciation in Nazareth, the place where the angel met Mary in our reading today, there is a plaque on the wall that reads, "Verbum caro hic factum est." The Word was made flesh here. I was talking the other day with Father Scheer, who had just returned from the Holy Land about a month or so ago, and I was asking him what it was like to stand there in the Church of the Annunciation and read those words and to think about that. And he said it was just amazing to think that the place where he stood was exactly the place where Mary heard the words and where the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. How amazing that must be. The Word was made flesh here. At the Third Ecumenical Council, the bishops declared that He was made man in truth and at the very instant of His conception in the all-virgin mother. Stop for a second and just think about what that means. Divinity and humanity were united at that time and at that place. It was the moment of incarnation. And in art and other depictions of that Annunciation, we normally see Mary kneeling quietly and reverently as she was responding to the angel with her fiat. Sometimes we might even see like a holy glow depicted over the Blessed Mother. But there were no huge explosions, no blinding flashes of light, no angelic choirs. It was a hidden but momentous thing that was happening. What was taking place would change the world. But nobody knew it yet. But God the Son was now present in Mary's womb as a baby. Then at the very end of the passage that we read, Luke concludes by saying, "Then the angel departed from her." Just think, after the earth-shaking news, Mary was left all alone in silence. She was to be a mother. I mean, that would be startling enough for a young girl to hear. But she was to be the mother of God. Her Redeemer would be living and growing in her womb. It must have been boggling to her mind to ponder such words as what she had heard. Yet, she was not alone. Remember, it said that the power of the Most High would overshadow her. The word having a familiar ring to those of that time, because it's the same word in the Old Testament to describe the cloud of God's presence overshadowing the tabernacle at Mount Sinai, indicating that God was present within. God was with her. God was in her. She was also told of her cousin's pregnancy, along with the angel's declaration that nothing is impossible with God. If she needed assurance and confirmation, that would be able to come from a simple visit to a relative. And yet in silence, how she must have been in wonder of what was about to happen and how it would come about. I thought it was interesting that in the next chapter, in chapter 2, it begins by saying, "And it came about." In other words, God was working his plan. He did not leave her alone and have her wonder. He was the one that was orchestrating it at every moment and taking her by the hand and leading her and her husband through this amazing journey. For 9 months, God the Son, the Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer of the world, would lay in her womb. The Syrian saint and poet, Saint Ephrem, said this: "It is a great source of amazement, my beloved, that someone should inquire into the wonder of how God came down and made his dwelling in a womb, and how that being put on the body of a man, spending 9 months in a womb, not shrinking from such a home, and how a womb of flesh was able to carry the flaming fire, and how a flame dwelt in a womb which did not get to burn up. Just as the bush at Horeb bore God in the flame, so did Mary bid Christ and bear Christ in her virginity." What an amazing thing for us to ponder with Mary, that the very God of the universe would inhabit her womb, would find a home there in the womb of the virgin. There were also burdens that she had to carry at this time. The initial shock of her husband and the possibility of being shunned and taken away. The misunderstanding of the people. This was portrayed vividly in the film that we just saw a few weeks ago here at the parish, Mary of Nazareth, where she walked through the streets of the town and the people would turn away from her. And also in the latter stages of her pregnancy, to have to make that journey to Bethlehem because of the census. But there in Bethlehem, if you were to visit the Church of the Nativity today, you would see another sign, and it said, "Christ was born here." This is what Paul indicates in that second reading about the revelation of the mystery kept hidden for the ages. The revelation was made real and present in Bethlehem. What was hidden in heaven and hinted at by the prophets, then hidden in the womb, was about to be brought into full view. And that is what we celebrate on Christmas. So over the next few days, we're going to be making a journey with Mary and Joseph to the city of David. The Old Testament prophecy concerning the location of the Messiah's birth would be fulfilled in Bethlehem, and the Son of God would be born. Heaven had been holding its breath for 9 months. But now, it was about to sound off with angelic praise at his arrival. In this way, God the Father would be delivering the birth announcements so that the world would take notice of the fact that the Redeemer in the world is now the Redeemer in the world. In these last few days, I want to invite you to keep Mary company as we await the birth of her son. Keep her company in meditating on the wonder of it all. When we really capture the reality of what has taken place, with her we can also declare, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Let's also keep her company in remembering the words of the archangel who said, "Nothing is impossible with God." In remembering those words, remember the Nativity is not a nice story, but a real event in time and place. Christ was born here. So with everything else that is going to be taking place over these days, and especially all of the activities on Christmas, let us never forget to accept the invitation that's given to us to come. Let us adore him. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.